And we're back in the B block on the Media Virus podcast number 124. It's time for an interview.
In the podcast production system, there are two separate but equally important groups, the guests who think they have something to say and the hosts who completely exploit them. These are their stories.
I was wrong. That was a long one.
All right.
Where?
So we're hanging out today with Chancellor Jackson. Chancellor, your book, 14 Days in Beijing. I haven't gotten all the way through it, but I have listened to the first couple chapters of your audiobook. Riveting. I mean, it's like you want to go to the next thing. You want to, and now the version I was listening to was you reading it.
Yeah.
Now Mike got your Kindle and had Alexa read it to him. I don't think that had the same effect.
I'm telling you, when you write in your voice, in your vernacular, Alexa gets really funny. And
so
I was surprised. Apparently she can say it.
Oh, world.
I was like, what?
So you spent some time, I guess you went over to China to teach.
Yes, teach English to children.
And, but you know, you're going in the, you tell in the book that you didn't have much of a grasp of the language, the Chinese language.
Yeah, no, I just knew enough to move and groove and, you know what I'm saying, get what I needed. As far as having a full in the conversation like we're having, it wasn't happening. No.
It wasn't happening. So what type of techniques, out of sheer curiosity, is the first kind of thing I think of is, you know, kind of putting these together. What kind of techniques, without you knowing their native tongue, do you use to teach them English? Like, how do you go about, you know, going fully formed humans? You spell out, because you kind of give your day-to-day itinerary as a teacher, but you're saying it as you're in prison. This is what I would be doing right now.
Yeah, for sure.
And you have advanced learners and you have beginning learners. I guess the beginning learners are much easier to teach, but what about the advanced learners? Like, what do you?
So the advanced learners, they're pretty fluent. You know what I'm saying? Almost fluent in English. Like they speak pretty well. So you can talk a little bit more regular with them now. With them babies, it's very, very, very small language. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of miming and acting out. And the number one rule in every classroom was no Chinese. So the kids not allowed to speak Mandarin. I didn't know how to speak that shit anyway. So ain't had to worry about that for me. But we had TAs in the class. That were Chinese. So if I needed something to be communicated to the kids, then they would handle that part.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, that's just kind of my, you know, because we have a friend that teaches French. But she speaks fluent. She's an English speaker. English is her first language. She learned French and she's teaching it to other people. And that's, I can't imagine what it's like to trying to teach a language to people when you don't speak theirs.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I didn't get all the way through your book yet, but you know, when you hear the story, this is going to be a story about being in prison in China. That sounds terrifying, just without even reading the book. But it really seemed, and maybe I haven't gotten to that part yet, but it really seemed that your fellow inmates were more humane than what, like if a Chinese dude came over to the United States and spent 14 days in prison here, his experience would not have been as really kind of heartwarming.
Yeah.
From the way you explained it. Like, so is that how it is over there? Like, is that just, was your experience the whole way through?
Yeah. Like my experience in China prior to getting locked up, the best experience I've ever had by far. The people were incredibly nice. Best customer service I've ever received, hands down. Working with the kids was lit. Exploring Beijing, you know what I'm saying? Seeing everything that it has to offer. Everything was just harmonious. You know what I'm saying? It was, experience of a lifetime. It was a high of a lifetime, literally and figuratively. And when in an actual sale, you know what I'm saying? You don't really come across, in China in general, China's one of the safest places you can live. Like, it's that strict. It's that strict. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna, America, you should be more terrified roaming the streets of America versus roaming the streets of China. No cap. You know what I'm saying?
I'd imagine so, yeah. But yeah. You're still locked in with, and I guess the degree of criminal, like, I guess what's considered a criminal in China and what's considered a criminal in the States, but you're in a room with 15 criminals.
Yeah.
And it seemed like people were more than willing to help you,
mm-hmm.
without a string attached.
Yeah.
it seemed like there was no, like, and I'm not trying to be, you know, gross or anything. There didn't seem to be any kind of like sexual assault or anything of that nature where you hear about prisons. I mean, that's the main gag, I guess. And for prisons, you know, that's what happened. So, do you think it's a comparison between the authoritarian government of China? Because I heard somebody else talk, like somebody, one of my friends went to Cuba, and when they went to Cuba, they said, oh my God, the people are so nice. The people are, and I'm like, well, yeah, they're going to be nice. They're, you know, they're terrified their entire lives. They're going to be nice to they're going to be nice to each other. So do you think it has something to do with that authoritarian, like that strictness,
yeah.
where the people are kinder to each other because everybody kind of has to deal with the same thing?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that plays a role. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even, like, I didn't really encounter any crazy people, like people that seem crazy. In America, I can walk down downtown Atlanta right now and I can point out five motherfuckers there. I'm like, yeah, he throw, got to keep your eye on this cat right here. Mm-hmm. You don't get that. I didn't get that vibe at all when I was out there in China. You know what I'm saying? Most of their people are quite sane, or at least they'll behave themselves just because, you know, it's a strict country. You know what I'm saying? That's just how they move. They're very disciplined. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how they are. You know what I'm saying? Here in America, it's it's completely different story, especially in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure you cross your T's and down your I's, for sure. Because folks see a sucker out here, they will lick you. No cap.
Now, could I pose a question here?
Sure.
Have you all seen the movie, Broke Down Palace?
I heard of it. I ain't seen it.
I don't know that I've seen that.
I'm glad you didn't say Brokeback Mountain.
No. Let's be very clear. Broke Down Palace. It is an older movie. It starred Claire Danes, and it's about foreign Americans who overseas get locked up very, very rough experience.
I think I have seen some of that.
There was also a series. It was called Locked Up Abroad.
Yeah.
And it chronicled things of your experience, Chance. I don't know if you've seen any of the series, or have you seen other stories like yours?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Locked Up Abroad for sure.
Locked Up Abroad. So one to ten on a scale of 1 to 10, where does your experience rate in comparison to, say, something on Locked Up Abroad?
I say it's still about an 8, because you would think it would be something crazy, but then once you go through the experience, it's like, I was not expecting it for it to be like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's still, just the name alone is going to goddamn draw attention like a motherfucker. No cap.
Okay.
For sure.
So there's a lot of emotional trauma. I don't know if you're familiar with the story at all, because I know you don't do any homework whatsoever. But there was no trial. There was no attorneys. There was no, you know, my man signing papers. He can't even fucking read.
Yeah.
And he's finding out, like, as it progresses, he's like, no, they tell you it's all in that paper that you should have signed. He's got no idea. He had no idea how much. So when did you find out that it was 14 or was it 14 days?
Yeah.
Because you did math in the beginning. You were like, somebody, 3 grams is a month.
Yeah.
So a month and a half would be 14. I guess that's where the math came from.
Yeah, and that was just me just, because nothing was explained to me, like, you know what I'm saying, like you said. So here I am, I'd sign all these documents, and here I am in this cell with 14 other Chinese men, none of which I could speak to. And I have no clue how this shit finna play out. And with that being said, I received a lot of signs and messages from my ancestors, my higher powers, guardian angels, whatever you want to refer to them as, letting me know, you know what I'm saying, how long I would be in this predicament. And one of this, you know what I'm saying, two of those signs occurred in my dreams. And one sign was happening at the second precinct in chapter one. And it was the only live and action sign I received from him. So that was just me, just, you know what I'm saying, because the dream, to give y'all more of a picture, the dream is I'm sitting in a room with some random folks. We smoke weed. We out somewhere in Beijing. We smoke weed. And the person in the circle is like, hey, I heard if you get caught with 3 grams, it's an automatic month sentence. And as soon as that person said that, everybody in the room got quiet. And then, like, you know what I'm saying, I started to hear the voice of the guard on the intercom waking us up. So I came to and realized I was dreaming. And I'm just sitting there reflecting on the dream. I'm like, damn, Shadi said 3 grams is an automatic month sentence. Well, if I got caught with 1.4 grams, which is less than half of that, we're talking about 2 weeks worth of time. Does that mean I'm going to be here for 2 weeks? Shit, I don't even think I can do 2 weeks in this place. You know what I'm saying? That's just how that whole process worked. But lo and behold.
Yeah, you were dead on. But when did you find out that it was 14 days? Like, when did you, were you ever given any information?
No. It was day 14. They just, come on.
Now, did they just take you and put you on a plane?
Oh, they took me straight to my apartment to pack up the rest of my shit and then straight to the airport where I was deported from the country within like 6 hours of being released.
Did you get a chance to stop at the bank?
No. They weren't trying to go for it. Yeah, they said, oh, we got it's hella ATMs in the airport. You can just use the ATM there. But once we got to the airport, it was so much drama. Once we got there, you know what I'm saying, that we was pressed for time. So I really didn't have time to pull, you know what I'm saying, any money. Yeah. I got like $100 out, you know what I'm saying? And it just came back to America with $100. Okay.
Wow. Now, what?
I think I'm starting the eighth chapter is where I am. Okay. Now, when you got to the second cell and you found some people who spoke both English and Chinese, so you had like a go-between. You could actually now, not only did you have somebody to talk to, you were able to communicate back to the guys you were with previously that got moved with you, that, you know, clearly, I mean, you kind of mentioned that, you know, they were making, they really wanted to make sure you were okay. They were actually glad that they found you an English speaker and got that worked out for you. The interesting part of the conversation, because race is interesting to me, because other than having pride for where you're from and being proud of who you are, what does it really matter? And then, you know, because it sort of does matter, I think when we talk about the differences and the likenesses, I think that's how we grow with one another.
Thanks.
One of the things that I thought you started to do, and I hope I see more of it, when the guy mentions that, you know, that they're ignorant. And they're asking about your hair, and they think you have a huge dick, and just not for nothing. I mean, I think that's a great thing that you put in there, that you came back with. You know, they're just curious, like you get it. You have, right. Like, hey, you know, it. They don't see people like me all the time, and as crazy as it is, it's sort of like that in America. Because we don't see each other, you know. Yeah. It's mostly because we're not looking, but, you know, it's not that we're segregated in a physical or a sense where, you know, there's just not a lot of black people here, because, I mean, there's black guys, white, everybody's here. It's a melting pot.
Thanks.
But we don't see each other, and I think that's an interesting way to approach the differences, is when you point out, you know, it's not ignorance, it's curiosity, and some of that has to be approached that way, you know, talk to each other, and, you know, like, you were giving them the answers. I mean, it was a little weird they were worried about your dick, but,
you know. So they wouldn't, energy is everything, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I never felt any type of vibes, like, it was any ill will or malicious intent from them. I mean, you can tell, like, these folks is curious as hell. Like, they really just want to know. And I'm like, damn. I'm an educator, so it's like, shit, I wish I could talk to y'all, but I can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I definitely...
You could have taught them all English while you were there. I mean, not for nothing.
We did get a little English lesson while I was in there. I can't remember what day it was. I had taught like four of them English. You know, so we had like a whole little lesson and everything.
That's it.
I can imagine you being dragged out of there down to the airport and going, wait about my bill. here's an invoice for my teaching. Hey.
Now, Mike had brought up, and this was kind of one of the questions I wanted to ask you. When you first walked into the jail, they put you in a room with nobody that speaks English. Meanwhile, down the fucking hall, there's a cell with three or four dudes that speak English. Do you think the Chinese police were like fucking with you those first couple of days, just kind of letting you sit, like letting you have nothing, letting you absolutely nothing? You had no one to talk to. You had no snacks. You had no soap. You had no toilet paper. Like, do you think that was kind of like on purpose?
I don't know. I just know it made the story amazing.
It really does.
It made the story amazing for sure. Goddamn. I don't know. Because it wasn't like I was asking a lot of questions myself. My mouth is fucking closed. Unless they, you know what I'm saying, really directly spoke to me. That's the only time I respond. The only thing I asked them was, can I get water? When we was at the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Aside from that, man, I kept my mouth closed the whole time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
absolutely.
And then I had to hold myself accountable. I'm like, I'm in their field. You know what I'm saying? I'm in their backyard. I was violating. So now this shit has hit the fan. I can't really be upset with nobody aside from myself. You know what I'm saying? So I got to take this to the chin, however it's going to come.
That's some big humble shit there. I mean, that you're very humble in saying, you know, you took your accountability. You admit that you're in there, you're playing on their field. And that kind of an attitude, if you weren't that guy walking into it and you have to realize that it changes you. And even if you were that guy, it reinforces this, that humble attitude where, you know, being humble goes a long way. It just does.
Yes, you're on the, you know, you're in their, you know, their playing field, you know, you're on their terms, but they're also the biggest supplier of heroin and fucking fentanyl to this country. And they can just, I was mortified, like reading the morning of your arrest gave me like heart palpitations. They just show up. Like first, like your neighbors ratted you the fuck out. That had to be it. Like it had to be just like the neighbor, like, I'm gonna get rid of that guy. And just, you know, cause you, the way you told it, you were hitting out of a pipe.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't even burning a joint. You were hitting out of a pipe. So that's what maybe a one window, like maybe the smell wafts over to one window.
Oh yes. But this is Mr. Chang. My neighbor, he smelled like art teacher.
Smell like old dirty shock.
No, our teacher's funnier, Pete.
Screw you, guy.
But, dude, how much, dude, like, seriously, did I would have just puked if, you know, you're sitting there trying to lie to a cop and he just pulls out a drug test. He's like, you're pissing this. But you have no rights. Like there's the concept of rights is not a Chinese concept.
No.
You know, no. So like, at what point did you know? I mean, you had to know you were screwed when they knocked on the door.
Yeah.
But like, what was going through your head?
Man, just how I'm going to finesse this situation. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going, you know what I'm saying? How we going to, I don't know how the fuck I'm gonna finesse this. I'm just hoping that I'm able to, you know what I'm saying, divert the situation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They realize ain't nothing going on and they just leave. I'm like, that's a, I done learned my lesson already. As soon as they showed up, I'm done learned my lesson right then and there.
Right.
It's over with. But yeah.
I don't suppose they gave you back the weed.
Nah, hell no.
And for all those young, you know, aspiring stoners out there, we've learned that shea butter is a terrible hiding place. Did you get it at least covered? Did you at least cover the sack with the butter? With the
I just threw that shit in the tub and just closed it.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? I was panicking. You know what I'm saying? The moment was big, pissing down my leg, trying to keep my composure, stay on my toes. But I wasn't prepared. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't mentally prepared for to be blitzed like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's
wasn't part of the scouting report. I didn't know they was gonna send that pressure like they did.
If it was only a gram and a half, you could have eaten it.
That part, man, it's so many different. I'm like, man, I could flush the shit. I couldn't put the shit in the laundry, in the washing machine. I could have, and you know, I could have put that thing in a bunch of different places. But hey, man.
And then they caught you sleeping, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they caught me lacking for sure.
And
I used to work for a painter, and we used to go and buy, like every month, we'd go buy a QP. And what we would do is we would put weight in the sack and put this. I was a painter. So we would open up a 5 gallon bucket of paint, shove it down in there. The weight would hold it at the bottom and just close it. Because no cops going through latex paint.
Come on.
That's right.
Come on,
you got to do something there. You know what I mean? You should have put it in the hot sauce or something. So I'm sorry, my brain just shut off. Mike, you got anything?
So I don't imagine your Chinese arrest record transfers to the States. So you don't have to disclose your time spent in Chinese prison when you apply for a job or anything, right?
Oh no, yeah, that was one of the questions we asked.
You kind of have that's something we don't know here in America, you know?
Yeah. We asked the U.S. Embassy representative that came and saw us. Well, that was one of the person I was with. He asked, like, is this going to follow us anywhere? Because I was like, nah. If I didn't write this book, nobody would have known this had happened to me. No cap.
And that's
like a slap on the wrist. You know what I'm saying? Did my time, let me go, and that was it.
I honestly like to write a little bit myself, so I think it's absolutely beautiful that you took this experience and put it to paper, because I think it's important to tell our stories and share things like that. So, and I'm really enjoying it. It's especially knowing that it's really your stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I had to do something with it. I ain't go through all that for no reason. I knew when I was sitting in Beijing Jail 6, I was like, bro, it's something I'm supposed to do with this experience. I don't know what, but and you know what I'm saying, in due time, I'll figure it out for sure. And I knew I needed to link up with one of my partners that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. He was a published author before we graduated high school in 2014. But I just knew, you know, he has an entrepreneurial mindset. So I'm like, okay, I just need to link up with him. I know we're going to talk about this, powwow. And from us doing that, we'll be able to come up with something in regards to, you know what I'm saying, how we can take this story and, you know what I'm saying, make something out of it. So we was just chilling one day. He was like, hey, bro, you didn't think about writing a book about the experience? I was like, well, that's a good-ass idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know where to start. That's a good-ass idea. He took it even further. Took my phone, went to my notes, left me a 5-layer outline. So I just started filling in the outline. And from that shit, I caught a flow for how I wanted to tell the story and moved it to my laptop on a Google Doc so I could type it up. 4 months later, the thing was written.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the flow of your consciousness that tells the story. It's not pretentious. It's just, hey man, this is this thing that happened to me, and now I'm going to tell you about it.
Thanks.
This doesn't happen to me often, but as I was like listening, you know, to the audiobook, I felt like I could see this happening. I felt like you put enough time into, not too much time into the detail, but just enough time into the detail so that you can kind of picture all of this in your mind. And it is terrifying. I mean, you know, the experience, I guess, looking back in the world of being locked up in an authoritarian country, it's not the worst experience anyone's ever had, but living it, like when you're like in the midst of it, have no idea what's going on. And that's, you know, that's how you kind of, you know, that's how I was approaching it. Like I, you know, obviously you got out and everything was fine. And the fucking title is 14 days. That's how long you were there. I mean, some of the questions are answered off the bat, but you still want to kind of be in that mindset. Like this is legitimately terrifying.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, you just signed that document, dude. You have no idea what it says. And then I'm like, boy, you don't want to make it, like, you don't want to cause any more problems.
Come on.
You
know what I mean?
you've already got one, you know, foot up your ass. You don't need anything else.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. But, you know, what's next? So, but, like, what's next on the horizon, you know, for Chancellor Jackson? You're going to go to other countries and get locked up?
And like that? I cracked a joke about that yesterday. I was talking with one of my friends, and she's a Sagittarius too, so we both love traveling. I was asking what some more places she want to go, and she was talking about Saudi Arabia. I'm like, damn, Saudi Arabia would be lit. I'm like, and I'm just thinking, because I was, once I got back to America, I was still hungry to go back, you know what I'm saying, overseas and work mm-hmm. again. I'm like, damn, I was supposed to do a year. I didn't even get to do the year. I only, you know what I'm saying, only got to do 6 months because, you know what I'm saying, the whole situation. So when I start something, I say I'm going to do something, I like to finish it. So I definitely wanted to, you know what I'm saying, see it all the way through. Probably let me try it again. And I was looking at the Middle East. The Middle East pays very well for English teachers. Tax-free, put you up in housing, everything paid for. So I'm like, shit, that ideally, that would be the best bet. But they strict as fuck over there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, yeah. If I were you, I would stay with countries like
Holland.
You
know,
yeah, and, Canada. the west coast of this country. You know, places where you're not going to get you know, stormtroopers at your door for huffing on a pipe. No, but seriously, what's the next step in your journey, man? What's happening next?
So, author turned publisher now. You know what I'm saying? So I started my publishing company in 2021, Colet Publications LLC, and I started a service coaching people through the writing and publishing process. So if you're somebody out there that has an idea or concept for a story but don't know how to go about putting it on paper, I can walk you through that process. Or say you've written a whole book but don't know how to go about publishing, I can walk you through that process as well, or both of them if need be, for sure. I had one client who saw the whole thing through, and we published his book in October of last year, and he was ranked the number one new bestseller in two different genres upon his release.
Very, very cool.
So, yeah, man. I'm working with about 3-4 other people right now. So just helping, trying to get them out, you know what I'm saying, get their books done and get them out there, see how their books do in the field. And, you know what I'm saying, just use that as momentum for, you know what I'm saying, marketing the service, for sure.
You're just a born teacher, ain't you? I mean, you just love sharing whatever knowledge you have.
For sure.
That's very, very cool, man. I really, I can really dig that.
He also mentioned.
So Maddie. Why don't you ask him to help you write your book? Now I have two assholes.
You had to bring that up during the man's interview. You know, the time for low class stuff is in the beginning.
He makes reference a number of times. He's your background is Native American as well.
Yeah,
and the Native American tradition of storytelling and teaching one another. I think that rings true with you. I think you do that a great service.
Oh, me. And I play football. You know what I'm saying? I play the ultimate team sport. Each one teach one, iron sharp is iron.
Right. That's there you
go. You know what I'm saying? I played it in college at that. So it's like, hell yeah. I'm all about teamwork. And, you know what I'm saying? Spreading game. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got all this game just to keep it to myself. The fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great way to go through life, you know, really. It's great.
You leave your mark. You gotta
get what you want. You know what I'm saying? I don't want somebody that's very knowledgeable in a certain field to give me whatever game they got. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't finna withhold no information from anybody else. Some crab in the bucket shit right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't have any more questions lined up for anybody.
I got a quick question. Somebody mentioned they saw you had a Turo set up. Are you renting something cool?
Yeah. So I got
I'm a car guy.
My other business is car rental service. I have three cars.
What you got?
All Kias. I got a 2015 Kia Forte Coupe, a 2022 Kia Rio, and then a 2023 Kia EV6 GT.
Oh, okay. So an EV. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. That motherfucker, that's a bad bitch. Okay. Okay.
Pete's got a USB cord.
I forgot. There's one thing I wanted to clear up with you. Now, if you're either from or have been to a city in Georgia that shares a name with a city in Delaware and is spelled S-M-Y-R-N-A.
Yeah, Smyrna.
Yeah.
Smyrna.
Smyrna.
Okay. All right. All right. Because the first time I ever saw, I'm not from Delaware. We're all in Delaware.
Okay.
If I'm not from Delaware, I'm from where people speak English. Okay? So when I first
saw
that...
What are you trying to say, man?
When I first saw that word, I said Smyrna. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's how it... And I... Dude, people in Delaware, especially if they're from Smyrna, get really pissed off. Like, really pissed off if you say Smyrna. So I just... I wanted to see what it was called in Georgia. So I appreciate your time.
I've got a whole other town full of people you can go agitate. In southern Delaware, there's a town. It's Houston.
Ah.
Houston.
Yep.
Houston?
Houston.
Well, we got that's Houston.
That's Houston.
Not in Delaware, it's not.
Houston is in Texas. I lived in Texas for a year, Chance.
They get angry.
We got a Houston in Georgia. That's what, and it's spelled
Houston.
Yeah, it's pronounced
Houston.
Yeah, so that's how.
Let's go back. Let's go back to Smyrna. Actually, if you ask people from Delaware if they live in Smyrna,
that is the Delaware pronunciation.
That is the Delaware pronunciation of Smyrna. But I'm not from Delaware. I'm originally from Pennsylvania.
Okay, PA.
So yeah, like it's crazy. Absolutely crazy asking people. Like, I went to Texas for a year, and it's funny. The people mistook me for being a local because you can just pick up the yumtu and y'all and all that, and you just fit right in.
Any area of the country that I go to within 2 days, I'm mimicking their dialect. Whenever I go to Boston within a day and a half, I'm like, come on, Kate, let's go to the fucking Packy. We got
Where are my khakis?
You're wearing
them. That's quirky. That's quirky.
But so I don't have any other questions. Anybody else?
No. I don't want to ruin the rest of this book.
So now, Chance, do you want to hang out through the rest of the show? You can split now if you'd like to, but if you want to hang out with us, we just got some bits we produced, and we're gonna watch some stupid videos and make fun of them.
Yeah, I got another podcast to jump on.
Word.
All right, man, dude. Thank you so much,
man. Good on you. Good on you.
Good on you, man. Drop the media virus when you're on that one.
Hell me.
But thank you so much for coming on. Chancellor K. Jackson, you can get all of his stuff on Amazon. You can look up the author page, Chancellor K. Jackson. You can go to ChancellorKJackson.com and check him out. You can, you can buy his book on Amazon. You can buy on the website too, right?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. And coming up after this, we've got Just the Tips with Stanley McFadden and Maddie's TikTok nonsense.
No. We're gonna do Real Talk with Guys this week.
Oh, Real Talk with the Guys, not Maddie's TikTok nonsense.
Yeah.
And give us a call, 646-VIRUS-01, and you can check us out on themediavirus.com. Mike?
And big thank you to Chancellor. Really enjoyed having you dig your vibe and reach out, get his stuff. And we'll be back with the C Block right after this. Where'd he go? Hold on. There we go. That works.
Damn, Big Daddy.
I completely understand if people don't want to come on my fucking show.